The number of people entering office buildings is, yeah, way down. It's the business news headlines for the 17th day of September. Thanks for being with us. Conflicting news out of Washington, again. Stocks tumbled due to a troubling report by the Fed and other data points. Hotels say major troubles are ahead for them as well. There's a comeback for General Electric. We've got the Wall Street Report and a troubling sign of education and low-income kids. Also, a look at the transportation trucking industry with two experts and how dicey that has become today. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, T-E-R-O.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, ntpda.com, and AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and can you believe it? It's already Thursday. Welcome to that edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at IOB_NewsHour. Well, this may not come as a shock, but a study released today and featured in Business Insider tells us that office entries are down by 51% since February. How do they know? Well, nearly every large office building in America has been outfitted with those keyless entry fobs, and where there is data, somebody can access it. The study found that in keyless office complexes, that counted entries are down by 51% from just this past February, and they have been low for months. All of that begs the question, are those jobs gone, or are people working from home? And if either one of those questions are answered with a yes, what do we do with all that extra office space? Of course, there's a reason we have excess office space, and it's a direct result of COVID-19. All that we get. However, knowing about our ability to defeat the pandemic is, well, muddy. The number of confirmed cases of the coronavirus worldwide continued to head toward 30 million today, and the U.S. case count climbed above 6.6 million. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump contradicted the head of the main U.S. public health agency to insist a vaccine would be ready in just weeks. At a briefing yesterday, Trump disputed comments made earlier in the day by Robert Redfield, head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who told Congress that a vaccine may not be available to the general public until well into next year. Redfield also said a face mask could be more guaranteed to protect than when a person might take a COVID vaccine. Hours later, President Trump said that the vaccine would be ready by mid-October or, quote, maybe later, end quote. It's not the first time that Trump has contradicted his own health experts. He said, I believe he was confused, is what the president had to say at the news conference. Trump also, again, mocked his presidential opponent, Democrat Joe Biden, for wearing a face mask in public. In response, World Health Organization head of emergencies, Mike Ryan, told reporters today that it's important to have consistent messaging from all levels of top government officials. The goal, he said, is to minimize confusion. Well, it was a gloomy report from Fed Chair Jerome Powell, who said the U.S. economy would continue struggling without help from Congress. Powell said a U.S. economic recovery would depend largely on how well the country controls the coronavirus pandemic, and added that further fiscal stimulus was needed after additional unemployment benefits had expired. Meanwhile, it appears that both sides in the stimulus negotiation part are still far apart, and the GOP leaders have said it may have to wait until after the November election to come to any kind of an agreement. On the data front, another 860,000 Americans filed for first-time unemployment benefits last week. That's a slight drop from the previous week's level and a sign of gradual improvement in the labor market. But while initial claims for jobless benefits have stabilized just below 900,000 in recent weeks, they still remain well above the highest level on record, which was 671 unemployed people in September of 1982. In addition, housing starts in August fell by 5%, and a reading on manufacturing activity in the Philadelphia region declined in September. All of that information impacted Wall Street, and I'll share those numbers with you in just a moment. Well, it's no secret that the hotel industry has been hard hit by the coronavirus, but now we've got some numbers. It's estimated that roughly one out of every four U.S. hotels cannot keep up with its mortgage payments, and delinquent mortgage accounts can easily pave the way to foreclosure. All of this was outlined in a report sent to Congress back in August, which showed that 23.4% of hotel properties were 30 days or more delinquent in their outstanding mortgages. That's the highest percentage on record. Last year, the percentage of hotel loans that were 30 days delinquent or more at the end of 2019 was 1.3%. And it's for this reason that hotels are begging for help. In a letter signed by over 4,000 hotel owners and multiple trade groups, the industry is asking for financial assistance for businesses that operate within the commercial real estate market. Now, don't forget, hotels don't have the same relief options as homeowners during the pandemic. Whereas homeowners can request forbearance on their mortgages, hotels, well, it's just not that simple. You know, it was not too long ago that they were down and out. But today, after an upbeat report by General Electric CEO, well, Larry Culp's call for cash flow to be positive in the second half of the year emboldened investors in GE stock was up for the second day in a row. The industrial conglomerate's stock jumped by 4.4% today in very active trading to close at a two-month high of $7.05. Adding to yesterday's 10.7% run-up, the stock's two-day gain of 15.6% is the biggest since March 26th. While the upbeat positive cash flow message resulted in price surges, it didn't mean that much to several analysts who said they needed to see more data than just a call for positive cash flow. Speaking of stocks, it was another down day for Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average ended down 130 points, or 0.4%, at 27,901. S&P 500 declined by 0.8, and the NASDAQ fell by 1.2%. The tech pullback continued with Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, and Alphabet all ending the session down. Bluntly stated, the Fed may be out of tools to fix what is broken with the economy, and it's now up to the legislative branch to deliver on some sort of stimulus program. But that idea got torpedoed today when Majority Leader of the Senate, Mitch McConnell, indicated the two sides are still wide apart and any stimulus would very well have to wait until after the November election. That bit of news also further depressed the markets. And finally, there is this. Higher education is facing a troubling trend during the pandemic. Low-income students are the most likely to drop out or not enroll at all. Some 100,000 fewer high school seniors have completed financial aid applications to attend college, while lower-cost local institutions have also seen an enrollment decline. The students are struggling to pay tuition and adapt to remote learning, while also contending with job losses and the public health crisis. The long-term impact could trigger a lost generation of low-income students who will then face lower job and wage prospects for the rest of their lives. Coming up next, a conversation about the trucking industry during the pandemic. Two experts who have over 50 years of experience in trucking and transportation will weigh in on the issues consumers and manufacturers are facing today. My guests are Brian Anderson of Anderson Cargo and Stephen Haas of DLS Worldwide, both based in Minnesota. Click ahead for more.